justification by law or faith. Complicated things that Paul wrote. Because one of the worst things that people do, they immediately get Christian religion and they start in the book of Romans or Galatians and they don't have a clue as to what they are talking about. So let's see what Peter wrote about that in 2 Peter. Let's turn there. 2 Peter, the third chapter. And by the way, in the revised occult book, which we're going to send to everybody, we are including an in-depth appendix which will cover almost all of Paul's hard-to-understand scriptures. So what we are going to do today, we are going to start with a basic understanding, and then you'll have to get the rest of the story on the CDs. But once you understand what I'm going to cover today, then it will be a whole lot easier to understand what Paul wrote. Now, we'll end up with a couple difficult scriptures, but let's start out with the things we know. Number one rule in Bible study, when you start approaching something that is hard to understand, where do you begin first? With the simple, clear, easy-to-understand scriptures. You don't go to the complicated ones first. See, now, like with the first commandment, it says, you shall have no other gods before me. Now, that's easy to understand, isn't it? I mean, no one mistakes that. Even Paul Harvey said, well, when people say the Bible's hard to understand, it's not that it's not the hard things that they're rejecting. It is they don't agree with the simple ones. See, they want to have another god. And then it says, you shall not make unto yourself any graven image of any likeness of any kind. And the Catholics say, when they read the rest of it, you shall not bow yourself down to worship it. Well, we don't worship, we just venerate it. Well, the truth is, God said, don't make it. What's it doing here? See, it's easy to understand. So let's see, because Paul did write some very difficult things, and one of the major problems in understanding what he wrote was that people do not understand what occurred with Israel in the Old Testament. The biggest mistake of dispensationalism is this, which evangelical fundamentalism follows. And there's no such thing as dispensations. The King James says dispensation there in Ephesians 1:10. But it means in the fulfilling of God's purpose. Well, that's far different than the concept of dispensation. But those who believe in dispensationalism believe that there was a certain set of standard that Abel and Enoch and Noah had to receive salvation. Then after that, there was another standard for the sons of Noah on this side of the flood, and there was another standard for Abraham, and they all received eternal life. And then they come to Israel, and they say, well, they received salvation through the law. So if you go and try and keep the law, you're trying to receive salvation by the law. And then they begin twisting all of Paul's scriptures. Well, let's understand some basic things. Let's read here 2 Peter 3 and verse 15. 2 Peter 3 and verse 15. And bear in mind that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. exactly as our beloved brother Paul. Now, that's quite a statement when you consider Galatians 2. Remember what happened in Galatians 2? Right in front of the whole congregation, Paul said, "Peter, you are a hypocrite." Now he calls him beloved brother Paul. Sounds like there was a little go to your brother and make peace business here, right? Yes. "According to the wisdom given to him, has also written to you, as he has also in all his epistles, speaking in them these things, in which are some things that are difficult to understand, which the ignorant," because see, they don't start with the simple. See? Let me use an example. Now, this little girl here is writing words. First thing she learned when she started school was ABC, right? You learned the song. You probably learned it at home. We did. We taught our kids at home. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, okay? Learn them, right? Basic. Question. As adults, do we still use the same alphabet? Yes, indeed. See? Because it's basic and it's simple does not mean that you don't have understanding later on with the same alphabet. And as a matter of fact, the translation of the English Bible uses the same alphabet that they do in third grade primers. Different words, more complicated, but you see, this is how we understand. That's why Paul said, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I thought as a child, I did as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." So likewise, in understanding Paul's epistles, there are some things that are difficult to understand, which the ignorant and unstable are twisting and distorting, as they also twist and distort the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. And that's what happens with dispensationalism. They violate the commandment which says, "You shall not take away from or add to." Now, they don't go along with a penknife and cut it out of the Bible, but they say, "You don't need to read this because it's fulfilled." Or Jesus' ministry was really to the Jews, and for baptism was for the Jews and not for the Gentiles. Well, then why did Paul baptize the Gentiles? So once you start picking and choosing, and then come down, as I explained this morning, just believe, and voila, you're saved. Okay, we'll find out why under the old covenant that they could not be justified to God in heaven above the way we are. And the way that they received justification was not in heaven above. Once you understand that, and once you realize that what God gave to them, with the exception of some of the prophets, as we'll read here in a minute, did not change the heart. It did not give the power to overcome the law of sin and death. That's why he only required that they obey in the letter of the law. And that's what we're going to see today. And because most people don't understand that, and most religionists do not, then they get everything confused and say, Paul did away with this and Jesus did away with that. So let's go ahead here. Verse 17, therefore, beloved, since you know this in advance, be on guard against such practices, lest you be led away or led astray with the error of the lawless ones, and you fall from your own steadfastness. Rather be growing into grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and into the day of eternity. Amen. Let's come to 1 Peter, the first chapter, please. Someone's going to say, well now, is Abel going to be in the kingdom of God? Yes. Is Enoch going to be in the kingdom of God? Yes. With those particular cases and with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they lived under a pre-New Testament configuration. Now let's read it here. Let's pick it up in verse 9. 1 Peter, the first chapter, and verse 9. 1 Peter 1 and verse 9. And are receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, concerning which salvation the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you have diligently searched out and intently inquired. Searching in what way and what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them was indicating. Now that's a very important thing. We'll see in just a minute. They had the Spirit of God, which is identified here as the Spirit of Christ, which was not given to the people in general. Just like in the world today. How many people have the Spirit of God today? So then you have to ask the question to answer that, what do you do to receive the Spirit of God? Repent and be baptized. How many people have done that? So likewise, back then, God had certain ones that he selected that repented. They were not baptized in the same way that we are today because of the covenant that baptism is for the new covenant. But nevertheless, God called them and used them and gave them the Spirit of Christ. Okay? Searching in what way and what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them was indicating, testifying beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and of these glories that would follow, to whom it was revealed that not to themselves but to us they were ministering these things which now have been announced to you by those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, into which things the angels desire to look. Now, let's come to Romans, the 8th chapter, and let's talk about the Spirit of Christ here for just a minute. Romans 8. And let's pick it up here in verse 9. However, you are not in the flesh, and yet you sit here in the flesh, right? What does Paul mean by this statement? It means that with the Holy Spirit of God, God reckons you in a different category than other fleshly human beings because you have the Spirit of God. But in the Spirit, now notice, if the Spirit of God is indeed dwelling within you. Now notice the next sentence. Very important. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. So the prophets of old had the Spirit of Christ in them, correct? That means they had the standard of behavior and performance and worship of God and faith and belief in God equivalent to the same thing that is required today, though they didn't know the full plan of God. Now let's come to Matthew, the 13th chapter, and let's see something else. Now as we understand this, I hope you will appreciate much, much more and be thankful to God for the fact that God called us in a time when we have the whole Word of God available to us complete. Matthew 13. Now, let's begin here in verse 10. Now, we've gone over this before, but this fits in exactly where we are going to understand what happened under the covenant with Israel. Okay? Verse 10, and his disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Now that's something, isn't it? That's why, brethren, always remember this. I do every day. And the worst thing in the world that can happen is when men get old, they make bad decisions. And I pray every day, God, don't let me make a bad decision. Don't let me be foolish. Look at Hezekiah. What happened to him? He repented. God gave him 15 years extra life. Then what did he do? When the ambassadors of Babylon came to congratulate him on being healed, he showed them all the treasures of all Israel, all the gold, all the silver, everything there was. And they were sitting there, boy, one day we're going to get this. So Isaiah came to him and said, what is this that you have done? And he said, thus and such. And he says, because you have done this, the enemies are going to take it all away. So he made a bad decision. And then Isaiah told him, however, not in your day. And then it showed his selfishness and another bad decision in his old day, in his old age. He said, well, that's good. I'll have peace the rest of my life. Now, because of his bad decision, what was the punishment? His son, Manasseh, succeeded him, who was the worst, most wicked king, and for 55 years, one of the longest reigning kings in the history of Judah. And look at all the untold evil that came because of that. So I look at that, and I look at, you know, Moses. He was old, and people frustrated him. He got angry, and God said, you know, speak to the rock, and the water will come. And he got angry and hit the rock. God still sent the water, but he said, Moses, you aren't going into the promised land. See? So pray for all of us who have gray hair that we make right decisions. We don't get selfish and narcissistic ourselves. Now to the rest of the world, none of this has been given. though the Bible has been printed billions and billions and billions, and as you heard on one of the recent sermons, the American Bible Society and the British Bible Society are printing 800,000 Bibles a year in China. In eastern China. Now, why do you suppose there are going to be so many Bibles out there? Because to the world, it is a witness of God. So they're going to be without any excuse. God's going to give them the Word. And then I also believe that these new universe-searching telescopes that they are going to launch in the next few years will be able to peer out into the universe even further than any place that we had. But to us, the Bible is the book of education for eternal life. So it's quite an amazing thing, isn't it? God can do so much that the world doesn't even know anything about. That's why it says in one of the other parables here that the kingdom of heaven is likened unto leaven, which a woman put in 3 measures of flour until it was all leaven. You see, that's the good work of leaven. And the good work then of leaven then pictures what God is doing in kind of an unseen, underground way that the world doesn't pay attention to only once in a while. That is all the saints, little group here, little group there, little group over here. And we don't know how many churches there are in the world. We don't know how many God is dealing with. But we know that God is dealing with us, and we pray for all of those that God is dealing wherever they are. But the world doesn't know what's going on, and right under their noses, God is training us to take over the world. Eh? Won't that be a surprise when the heavens open up? Bam! Ooh! There's the sign of the Son of Man. All right. Let's go on. Now, here's another key. Remember, Peter said, be growing in grace and knowledge. That means continuously all the time. Because here's what happens. Now, I want you to think about the church experience that we have gone through, all of those of you who have gone through worldwide. And we'll ask the question, did this happen to those who gave up the knowledge of God? Let's read it. Verse 12. For whoever has understanding, to him more shall be given. Why? Because you're growing in grace and knowledge, you're growing in the Spirit, you're growing in truth, you're growing in humility. So God can give you more. And he shall have an abundance. But whosoever does not have understanding, even what he has shall be taken away from him. True principle follows through anything having to do with the Word of God. Happened in Worldwide Church of God, all those that stayed, did they lose the knowledge? Yes, indeed. If you meet them on the street, you say hello to them, and the last thing they want to talk about is the Sabbath and the holy days. How about the Protestants who, when the nation began over 200 years ago, they had a good understanding of the Bible except for the Sabbath? Has all of that been being taken away from them because they refused to grow in grace and knowledge? Yes. So this is a living principle. And herein we find the reason why we study every day and we pray every day. Verse 13, for this reason I speak to them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, in hearing you shall hear, and in no way understand, and in seeing you shall see, and in no way perceive, because they're not willing to believe the simplest thing. And that relates to the first four commandments and their relationship with God. Oh, they'll accept the last six with some qualifications. But you have all or you have none. It's just like a puzzle. If you don't have all the pieces, you can't complete it. The hardest ones to do are the thousand-piece puzzles where every piece is identical. Liken that to Paul's difficult scriptures. And what happens? Verse 15, for the heart of this people has grown fat, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. They could open them. See? Like one man said, he told his father, when his father started keeping the Sabbath, he says, well, he said, if God would come down and tell me to keep the Sabbath, I'd keep it. He looked him right in the eyes and said, God did. And it's written right here. See? Yes. So the truth is, if you want to know what God would tell you, read the Bible. Let's go on. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their hearts and should be converted and I should heal them. Now that in itself is a tough parable to figure, because most Protestantism says everybody's got to be saved now, and those who aren't saved now are damned. Well, God blinded them, gave them over to disobedience, and so God has to give them an opportunity for salvation, which is the very reason why there is the second resurrection. But most Protestants, you talk to them about the second resurrection, said, well, no one gets a second chance. Well, they didn't have a first chance. Your evangelist didn't get there in time. See, God didn't give them a first chance. They may have a second life for a first opportunity for salvation. All right, let's go on. We're getting a little astray here. Verse 16, but blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous men have desired to see what you see and have not seen, and to hear what you hear that I have not heard. So here we sit, the end of the age, with all the spiritual tools in our hands, and then we become lukewarm and fall asleep at the switch and use every kind of excuse to not do what God wants us to do and know. And everyone knows in their heart of hearts, even those who are Laodiceans but are doing nothing about it, they know their day of reckoning's coming. Because they've read Revelation 3, right? So the thing to do is repent ahead of time so you don't have to be zonked hard. See? All right, let's go on. Let's see what we have here. Let's see what we have here. Let's begin with Abraham. Let's come back here to Genesis 12. Now remember, the reason I want to start with Abraham is because Jesus said what? to the Pharisees. He said, you will see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. So we know this, that Abraham must have had the Spirit of Christ in him and that he was converted. He was also called a prophet. So this applies. But how much knowledge did he know compared to what we know and what is in the Bible now? Well, it started out the same way we start out. Genesis 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get you out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Now we read in Hebrews 11 that he believed God. And by faith, went where he was supposed to. Now notice what else. I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you, and in you, and that means his progeny, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now when you analyze this part of Genesis 12 that says, then Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken to him. Just put in your margin or in your notes Luke 14, verse 26, where it's the same thing. We have to forsake what? Father, mother, brother, sister, husband, wife, lands, children, and our own lives also. Otherwise, we can't be the disciples of Christ. Correct? So the same principle required here. Had to leave home, had to leave country, he had to go where God told him to go. And he went by faith, not understanding what was going to happen. And when it came time that he was 75 years old, which was the time that he left, and then we come to Genesis 15, where he was about 85, still no children, then God came to him and said, you're going to have a son. And he said, oh, but let Eliezer be my heir instead because I don't have any children. And he said, you're going to have a son. Let's come to Genesis 15. Who shall come forth from your own loins? He shall be your heir. Now verse 5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, I covered that recently on a sermon here, so I won't go into it. Nevertheless, we have faith, we have obedience, we have doing what God says. Now, let's understand something. Abraham only saw Isaac born and grow up, and Jacob was born 2 years before he died. So the only measure of fulfillment of the promise of the heirs and children was Isaac and then Jacob. And Isaac was 42 years old when Abraham died. Okay? Now, let's come to Israel. Now, the covenant with Abraham is a covenant that extended. Now, there was the part with circumcision in Genesis 17. But the covenant with Israel, with Abraham, contained within it the covenant to Israel and the covenant to the church. Two separate covenants. Now, when we come to the covenant with Israel, God brought Israel out of Egypt, brought them to Mount Sinai, gave them his laws and commandments and statutes and judgments, told them to keep them. And what they were to do was the same thing of the covenant of circumcision. Now let's come here to Exodus 12, where they had the Passover. Exodus 12. We won't go through all the things of the Passover. We just want to cover this here. Exodus 12 and verse 43. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover, there shall no stranger eat thereof. But every man's servant that is bought with money, when he has circumcised him, I want to emphasize circumcision here, so keep that in mind. A foreigner or a hired servant shall not eat of it, in one house shall it be eaten and so forth, and all the congregation of Israel shall keep it. Verse 48, and when a stranger shall sojourn with you and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all of his males be circumcised. Then let him come near and keep it, and he shall be as one born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. All right. Question. Circumcision at 8 days old. And by the way, women, when they marry, participate in the circumcision at that point. But circumcision at 8 days old does not change the heart. No. No. Hearing and knowing the Ten Commandments is good, and if people would follow them in the letter, that would change their behavior, but knowing them, hearing them, did that change their nature? Now, it gave them an education of the things they needed, right? Let's come here to Deuteronomy and let's see what God says. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 1. Now, therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and to the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that you may live, and go on and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers gives you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Now verse 6, after he gave them a warning, remember Baal Peor and what happened there? Verse 6, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who has God so near unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? For what nation is there so great that has statutes, judgments, so righteous as all this law that I set before you this day? Then he gives another warning. Only take heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Teach them to your sons and your sons' sons, especially the day that they stood before the Lord your God in Horeb. Let's ask the question. Did hearing the Ten Commandments change the heart of the people? No. What was the first thing they said when they heard the Ten Commandments? Let's not hear the voice of God anymore. Moses, you go speak. You speak to God. You come to us, tell us what God says. We'll do all that God says. Well, they were well-intended in what they said. But you see, here is the key. Come here to chapter 5, where Moses reveals something very important. And remember this. Ask this question, write it down. When did the children of Israel really, truly repent unto conversion? Nada. Not once. Did they know the law? Yes. Were they taught the law? Yes. We'll see what they did and why they did it, because this becomes very important. Let's pick it up here in verse 28 after he reiterated the Ten Commandments. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spoke unto me, and the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken to you. They have well said all that they have spoken. They're well-intentioned. What is a modern proverb concerning good intentions? Good intentions paved the way to hell, right? People intend to do good. But how to do that good without the Spirit of God, even with God's laws, they can't do it. Because God didn't give them the Spirit. That's why. Here's what God told him. Verse 28, and the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spoke unto me, and the Lord said to me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, what they have spoken, and they have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Now, this tells us something very, very important. God never gave the children of Israel the gift of repentance and conversion. Only the prophets like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Enoch, Noah, and Moses, and maybe several of the high priests, but the children of Israel never did follow the way of God. Now, I just imagine this. If we took a survey here in Greater Houston, since there's an average of 4 Bibles in every household, I imagine you could go into even criminals' homes in Houston and find the Bible. But they never read it, did they? Do all criminals know it's wrong to lie? Yes, indeed. How many have seen this MSNBC where they have entrapment of pedophilia men? Okay? And they get them in there, and he reveals who they are. What do they all say? Oh, I know this isn't right. Well, I only came here to hang out. Well, I just came here to talk. In a case of one homosexual man who came to a 14-year-old boy's house, he said, I was just going to come and warn him about the hazards of homosexuality. Really? See. Okay. Yes, one of them was even a Jewish rabbi, see? And how about the evangelical preacher up there in Colorado? Okay. How about the man in Worldwide Church of God whose initials are GTA? Did he know? Yes, indeed. See, the Word of God does you no good unless you act upon it, either in the letter of the law for a decent society or in the spirit of the law for eternal salvation. Let's go to the next track, please.